You would grab your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. That's where we're going to be today. But as you're turning there, imagine if I told you that I had an inside scoop on an unbelievable land deal between Arvada and Boulder. Like, there's a rumor going around that Arvada is potentially buying the Flatiron rock formations for $100 million. It's crazy. Even wilder is they're going to attempt to move them south, like put them literally in our city limits. Like, that's what I've been hearing. Now, that's not believable, right? I'm making that up. That's not believable, one, because mountains are immovable. They're firm. They're not going anywhere. They're unshakable. And I share that because there's something even more unshakable than the breathtaking Flatiron rock formations. That unshakable nature is something that we find in Romans chapter 8, which declares that all people who've placed their faith in Jesus Christ, you now have a spirit in salvation that is immovable and can withstand any attack from Satan. There's something more unshakable than these mountains, and it's the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. Amen? And this Easter morning, we're launching a brand new series called Unshakable, which is a journey through Romans chapter 8, and we're going to unpack the unshakable hope that we have in Jesus Christ over the next 6 weeks. And arguably, this is the greatest chapter in the book of the Bible because it is of depth and it has a robust scope of the blessings and assurances that every believer has who is in Christ. It begins with no condemnation and ends with no separation from the love of Christ. That's Romans chapter 8. And my hope as we study this series and book that in this final series before the summer, that us as a church on fire, which has been our year-long theme, that we would continue to burn even brighter because of the truth and reality of what we find. And I wanted to end our year-long kind of theme with this study because the assurance of our salvation, the depth of our salvation is what helps us burn bright, what keeps us patient in affliction, hopeful through all circumstances, as the promises found in this chapter. And I want this chapter to sink deeply into your heart each week because of its truth. And what we're going to do each week is, hopefully you got a card today with the verses that I'm going to be preaching from. And each week you're going to get a card like this that is one piece to a greater puzzle. And on the back of each card is a graphic or a piece to the overall graphic of Unshakable. And so I encourage you to be here for the next 6 weeks to get each piece of the puzzle so that you can have the complete picture of being unshakable. So make sure you get that. And again, we're going to go through this book or this chapter verse by verse, applying the blessings and assurances that we have. And a quick overview just to show you the depth and nature of this book. And it's exhaustive, and it's exhaustive for a reason, and I'm sharing it with you for a reason, to show you the immense blessings that we have in Christ found in this chapter. The first one of realities that make us unshakable is no condemnation. Romans 8:1, our verse for today. Two, we have a spirit-led life, which means we're empowered by the indwelling spirit of God, not our flesh. We have resurrection assurance, meaning the Spirit guarantees eternal life, hope in Christ. Four, adoption means that we're God's children now, children, co-heirs in Christ. We have hope of glory, which means that through our suffering that we're going to have hope in the everlasting life later to come. The Spirit's intercession is the sixth one. It means that the Spirit prays for us when we don't know how to pray. He intercedes on our behalf. Seven, all things for good, meaning the hardships of life are not wasted, that God works it out for our good and his glory. Number eight, conformed to Christ, we see that we are predestined, justified, and glorified to reflect the love of Jesus. God's unwavering support is the ninth assurance. That means that God is for us, like ensuring that our security in heaven is there and can't be moved. Also, we have an unbeatable position, which means no accusation or condemnation can stand against us. Let me catch my breath. There's two more. There's amazing blessings. Number 11, inseparable from Christ means nothing can sever you from Christ's love. Amen. And then lastly, we are victorious conquerors. the 12th blessing from this chapter. This is exhaustive to show you the weight of the promises for you, believer. And this is needed because we all face moments in life where life is shakable. Whether it's guilt over past mistakes, fear of failure, or just an insecurity of abandonment, which I received when I was a child when my parents left me. And this promise, being a child, helped me and encouraged me. And Romans 8 speaks directly to all the insecurities, all the accusations, all the lies, all the falsehoods that the enemy tries to bring against you and gives you assurance. Romans 8, I was thinking of an illustration, is kind of like Israel's Iron Dome. Familiar with this? Israel's got some enemies. They launch missiles from all over the world, close or even foreign. But the Iron Dome is this missile defense system that anticipates the attacks and then sends a counterattack that intercepts the missile and blows it up before it can hurt. And Romans 8 is full of missiles that intercept the lies and accusations of the enemy. So when you hear something, an assault from the enemy, you've got Romans 8 to say, not today. Not true. I'm an overcomer. Christ's death and resurrection is the power that I need to withstand your assault. Not today. And so, the Iron Dome of Romans 8 is there for us, but we need to know that it's there for us. And so, here's what's at stake if we don't live in the realities of the illustration I just shared. The obvious is what's at stake. You'll be shaken. If you don't apply this today or learn from this, you're going to be a house of cards blown over the moment the enemy attacks you. Without the truths of Romans 8, of the unshakable nature that we have in Christ, you are going to be vulnerable to Satan's lies, and you're going to be distracted and removed from the intimacy of God forever, and you're going to be taken off mission. Today, we're going to be covering verses 1 through 4, but before we do that, we need to know what precedes this, okay? Because this is a book of the Bible, and we're kind of diving into the middle of it. And so we need to know the context. That's good Bible study. That's good preaching is knowing the context. So before chapter 8 is chapter 7. And chapter 7 essentially is Paul talking to the church in Rome, still saying, I still struggle, me as Paul, still struggle doing the right thing. Even though I want to do the right thing, I do the wrong thing. And I know that the wrong thing is not the thing that I should do, but I still do it. And he's basically talking about this tug of war tension between the flesh and the spirit. And so that's setting up Romans chapter 8. And what he's saying in Romans chapter 8 is though that there's still a struggle, that we still sin as Christians, there's no longer condemnation that we once had before we accepted Christ. So the inevitable is going to happen. Sin is going to happen. But if it does happen, you're not going to face the same condemnation that you had before Jesus. And so, Christian, the reality that we need to see, the purpose for all of us, is that every believer and everyone who is called upon the name of Jesus can receive the blessing of no condemnation. That's the point of today. And for the purpose of shared understanding, let me define what condemnation is. Condemnation is what everyone outside of Christ lives under. Guilty before a holy, righteous, perfect God who hates sin and must judge it, sentencing all unbelievers, those apart from him, to eternal separation from him. In other words, hell. We believe hell is real. And today's text addresses condemnation. Number one, for those who are in Christ, you need to be reminded that your guilt is gone. You're no longer condemned. Despite our doubts and accusations, you're free. And secondly, this addresses those that are not in Christ yet. We urge you to make a decision to follow Jesus, to put your faith and trust in him. And when you do, what this applies to you is you can change your condemned status to free. Like if there's anything I can urge you to do is to change that status through belief today. That's where we're going. You guys ready? Let's be unshakable. Hey, let's stand together. We're going to read Romans 8, chapter 1 through 4, or Romans 8, verses 1 through 4, and then we will dive into this message. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one. There's some in the back. It's our gift to you. We believe a physical Bible is the best Bible. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. Amen. He condemned sin and the flesh by sending his own son and the likeness of sinful flesh as sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Today's big idea is this: an unshakable reality is Christ's sacrifice assures us of no condemnation. It frees us from the law's curse and empowers us by the Spirit to live righteously for God. The first reality that we need to see today from the text is in verse 1, and it's this: we are assured of no condemnation. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about this word therefore. And what we need to see is, when we see the word therefore, we need to understand it's connecting the thing that we just read and causing us to pay attention to the thing that we're about to read and say, hey, pay attention. And so therefore is there. And the tension is that we still sin. But therefore, in light of you still sinning, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. That's the tension and why the therefore is there. And why Paul is saying this is because even though we are saved, we still have an accuser, the enemy of God, Satan himself, that wants to accuse believers who fall short of the glory of God. This is inevitable, but our enemy wants to take advantage of that, and so he mocks us. Look, you sinned again, loser. You're not the disciple that you claim to be. You might as well give up on this faith thing and join Team Devil. That's his accusation. He's trying to thwart our salvation and sanctification process to get us off track. And Paul knows the enemy's schemes, and he's aware that we all live in this tug of war, okay? And so he's equipping us with a counterattack, a counter truth. That's a reality. It's not even like a strategy. It's a reality for us to say, not today. So he's saying, you're not condemned. So he says, don't be a victim of Satan's accusation. Be an active proclaimer of truth that we are not condemned. You stand tall with fierceness and you say, not today, enemy. Has anybody experienced an accusation of the enemy before? Amen. We're not alone. We're in it together. But for me, it's weekly. Satan knows how to get me fast by poking at my failures at being a dad, a parent, and having two little girls, 4 and 2, and then one on the way. You know that your wick can be short. You can be short with your kids, or raise your voice, or not be present with them. And then you realize your failure, and immediately, for me, I hear, you're a crappy dad. They love their mom more than you. Or even sometimes, whew, that's going to cost you a lot of money in clinical therapy. But what Paul is saying is, when those lies come, the Father speaks a better word. I'm not condemned. Yes, I messed up. But there's grace in Jesus Christ to do something better and repent and apologize and say, Posey, Maple, I was short with you and I want to do better. And I walk forward in the Spirit of God, empowered to be a better dad, where the accuser wants you to be hindered and arrested and frozen and condemned, not walking in the truth that you have. And he wants you to spiral out of control. And what Paul wants us to know is that when we fail, don't despair. Don't be overwhelmed by lies. In the struggle, we will still sin, but you need to know that you're a work in progress. I love what Brennan Manning says, and that we need to believe this reality. God loves you unconditionally, as you are and not as you should be, because nobody is as they should be. This is the freedom and grace of not being condemned when we mess up. It's God loves us not as we should be, because none of us are what we ought to be. Praise God. And oh, I love the blessing of this verse. I've been the recipient of this verse from mentors and coaches and people who've discipled me. And even some of you, I've shared this verse as your pastor, to free you from the guilt and condemnation that the enemy is trying to bring upon you. And I want you to know that this is a beautiful verse. And behind the scenes, this is what's happening of how this is actually applied to us, how the blessing happens, is that behind the scenes, spiritually, Satan is having a conversation with Jesus himself. He's accusing not only us, but he's accusing us before Jesus. He's trying to agitate Jesus, which he can't do by pointing out our sins. And he's like, look, see what they did? This is your child, by the way. You should be embarrassed that they did this. And you should throw them out of your will, out of your kingdom, just like you did me. I'll take them. They don't belong with you. They're not worthy to be with you. But Jesus says in the face of that, he says with full victory and grace, Satan be gone. I will not hear it. I speak a better word of my child here. They're mine. And not only do I forgive them, I've saved them and they're forgiven, so much so I've erased their sins as if they had never sinned at all. So not only is it forgiven, he can't even remember it. It's so far gone. That is the power of no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. In other words, condemnation has no place in our lives because Christ has forgiven us. We are free and forgiven, meaning Satan can't condemn something that Jesus has no recollection of. That's good, y'all. And years ago, I got a notice reminding me of this story from the IRS about some contract work that I did of some unpaid taxes. I was young and dumb and didn't know that, you know, you had to pay taxes on every amount of income you have. Young people, that's true. Pay your taxes. And so I was thankful that the amount that I owed wasn't a lot, and I set up a payment plan and wrote them a letter and did the process, filled out the forms, and they were exhausting, and I sent it in. However, the check, because you can't, at this time, they couldn't do anything digitally. This was like 2010. And so you had to send in a check. And I began to worry because that check never cashed. I started calling the IRS. Hey, somebody pick up. I called and called and called. I was worried that the check got lost or that they were going to at any moment bust down my door and I was going to be arrested and sent to jail and my life was going to be over and I was going to spend the rest of my life in jail. And I had to get somebody on the phone to explain the situation and ask them what to do. And I finally got somebody on the phone after waiting and waiting and I asked the lady, ma'am, here's my situation. What do I do? And she cuts me off. She says, sir, we have no record of ever sending you a letter or you ever owing us any money. And I said, ma'am, are you sure? Like, I've called before. Are you sure? She goes, sir, I'm very sure. But you have to understand, like, this was a very traumatic thing. Like, I'm pretty sure that I had a conversation with you that you wanted money. And she cuts me off. She says, sir, I'm very, very sure. But ma'am, are you sure? She said, sir, I'm going to go now. Those who are in Christ, I want you to know that you are no longer under condemnation. And that when you feel it, that you run to the Father and you press him. And what will he say? I'm sure. I'm very sure. But like what I just did, Lord, was pretty bad. I'm sure. I'm very sure. And the good news is he won't hang up on you. This incredible and relieving news of our debt being erased through Christ's assurance, it leads us to liberation. And verse 2 and 3 shows us the how. Like, how did the no condemnation happen? And that's the second thing we need to see here is we're freed by Christ's sacrifice, verses 2 and 3. Paul says our status is only made possible because the text says, because God sent his own son as an offering on our behalf. And so if our condemnation are like spiritual chains, which we see repeatedly through Scripture, that we're in bondage, we're prisoners, we're slaves to sin, then the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the powerful, fierce instrument that forcibly breaks those chains. I want you to see the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb as a sledgehammer that breaks the chains of bondage. It's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, Jesus was the instrument to break our chains. And on this Easter day, what you and I are celebrating is that God's instrument for our freedom was the empty tomb. You have broken chains today. Amen. God raising Jesus from the dead, again, is like this sledgehammer. It's a force for all who profess faith in him. And it's why every ounce of joy and celebration and vibrant and fervent singing is worthy, because we have been, our chains have been broken by Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why we celebrate it and look to him and give him worship, because it had to be him. He's the only one that could have done it. It's why we worship him and we sing to him, because he was the only one, the chosen son of God. He had to be, because God needed someone that was perfect. And Jesus was the only person that could be the sacrifice for us. And this is what Paul is referring to when he says he condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, Jesus, fully God and fully man, lived a sinful life despite appearing human. That's what the likeness of means. And thus, subject to temptation. And so he looked human, and he was fully human, but he looked like somebody that could be tempted by sin and then fall into it, but he didn't, making himself the perfect instrument and sacrifice for our redemption. And you and I need to know this again and again and again, never forgetting the instrument that gave us power and that set us free, because we need to know the power and the source of our freedom, because we have a dynamic and mighty weapon when it comes to the inevitable attacks of Satan. Again, this is a counter to the assault of, hey, your sin really isn't forgiven. God's holding that against you. No, wrong, chains are broken. I am free. And you need to come back. Respond to the enemy and say, not today. I'm unshakable. I'm a very competitive person. If you didn't know this about me, I love board games and competing. Like Uno gets my blood pumping. I love it. However, my sweet wife, this drives her crazy, because she just likes to have fun when it comes to board games. And people who play board games or any other kind of sports just for the fun of it, they need therapy. It's weird. Competition is good. Worse than just playing for fun is that she's really good. And she beats me 9 out of 10 times at whatever game we're playing. And when it comes down to the wire, especially Uno, I've got 2 cards left, she's got 2 cards left, and I've got like, hey, draw 4 card. Every single time, she's got a wild card that trumps my victory. And no matter what game we play, no matter how much fun she's having, and no matter how much fun I'm not having, she wins. She wins every single time. It's so frustrating. She's got the right card at the right time to bring victory. And believer, Easter is your wild card. It is always the right play at the right time when you're cornered and you feel like there's no way out. Your trump card is the empty tomb. Amen, church? And so you play it. It's the winning card every time. No matter what the enemy says to you or accuses you of, or this is your sin, you're a failure, he'll never love you again. Trump card. And guess what? When we lay it down, not only do we counter the attack, but we ensure the victory in Christ. And I'm fired up because of this, because the Christian life is meant to pack a punch. It's authoritative and it's victorious. And you need to know this, because our enemy is formidable. Yes, he loses in the end, but he's a formidable opponent. And we need to be watchful and mindful that he can take us out or cause harm. And so we need to pack a punch. And Romans 8, the no condemnation, we're freed from our sin, is the punch back. And you need to know that power. It gives us chests to stand up tall to the enemy and his accusations, and allows us to shout back, Satan, you have no power over me, because I am no longer condemned. Christians, be reminded or discover for the first time the authority that you have to resist Satan's accusations and lies are here for you, found in Romans chapter 8. By believing and declaring this truth, you can stand firm and avoid being overcome by his deceptive scheme. As we pick up in verse 4, this reality isn't just a counter against the accusations. It's the foundation for a life empowered by Christ's Spirit. As verse 4 reveals, we're not only free of Christ's sacrifice. We're empowered to live differently because of it. That's the third thing, empowered to live righteously. We talk often here that Christ not only saved us from something, but he saved us for something. And verse 4 is the 4. What does he say? In order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In other words, we've been saved for a life of walking completely different than the life that we are walking from. So we've been saved from something for walking in new life. Make sense? So I'd like to introduce you to someone who portrays this walking into new life that was once chained up. It's an adorable fella named Rusty, who was once chained but now living in freedom. Let me introduce you to Rusty.
He was chained outside for 10 years. His life was the length of his chain. And we always ask, please give us Rusty. Please let us find a home for him where he can live inside. And finally, one day that call came and we went out and we got him. He was fostered while we sent out his information and Hannah reached out to us.
He's adjusted great. I thought that it was going to be a long adjustment period, but like he showed up, jumped right on the couch.
Oh, thank you.
Let's give it up for Rusty. I love dogs. We have an incredible dog. He's crazier than that. But Rusty's life is a life after freedom. Being chained up for 10 years, he lived radically different after being freed from his chains. He had a new owner, loved that owner. Could you tell and actually hear the kisses that he gave his owner? He was freed and lived differently. But his freedom wasn't just from breaking chains so he could roam freely. But his freedom was to live submissive to a new loving owner. He was happy. He was disciplined. He was trained. And he had much joy. And Christian, the same is true for us. When we're saved from our sins and saved from the old life, we're now saved for something. New life. New master. New leader. New joy. New way of living. And we do it with joy and empowerment. And listen to this, the greatest tragedy of the Christian life is someone receiving and experiencing the grace of God and never living out that grace as they move forward. Their life looks exactly the same. And what verse 4 is saying is that we become unshakable when you and I actively walk away from the chains like Rusty and walk into new submission with joy and freedom. True joy, true freedom comes under the submission, under authority of Jesus Christ, not being free to roam and do whatever we please. And true freedom proves, and this joy proves, that we've really been touched by the Redeemer. If you don't live differently, have you been really touched by the grace of God? There's a powerful story about this in the Gospels, Gospel of John. The religious leaders are grinning, thinking they've trapped Jesus. They say, hey, Jesus, the law says that we have the permission to kill this adulterous woman. What do you say, teacher? Jesus kneels down, scribbles in the dirt. We don't know what he was scribbling in the dirt. Maybe their sins, or maybe drawing a cross himself. But he says, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Guilty, they all leave, leaving Jesus and the woman alone. And Jesus has a moment with her. Where are your accusers? And she mumbles, gone, Lord. And then he declares, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now let me ask you, did that woman live radically different after that moment? You bet your life she did. She was forgiven of much, so that means her life changed of much. And the same is true of us. We have been forgiven of every single thing we've ever done. And that gives us freedom to walk in a different way. And Christian, if you don't walk that way, you're robbing the power of the cross. The power of the cross, the power of the empty tomb says, I am not only going to give you a desire to want to serve me in response of the grace that I've given you, I'm going to empower you. So it's no longer you that lives, but me in you. And so I'm going to give you the empowerment, and the call for us as TLC is we want to obey because of his grace, but we also want to lean in on the grace that empowers us to live righteously in him every day. This is why I believe Christianity is the true, one true religion. Because all the other faiths say, do, 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 strive, strive, strive. Here's some best practices. Good luck. But Christianity says, I've done it all. It is finished. You don't have to do anymore. It's been done. And it gives you the empowerment to live for Jesus, not to strive for him or to hope that maybe I'm doing it the right way. He gives you the power of God in you to live differently. And that's why it's the one true religion. And he gives you an entire new operating system installed for everyone who professes faith in Christ Jesus as Lord. And no more are we self-reliant trying to grit out righteousness, but we have a power and a source that lets us walk accordingly different. That is the response from someone that hears no condemnation. And so Christ, thank you for that. Christian, may we live in that. This past Friday over lunch, someone here at TLC who this past October told me he was not a Christian. He says, I'm not a Christian yet. Grinned ear to ear over lunch this past Friday and told me he's a Christian now. Amen? Isn't that great? He told me that his new life in Christ is better. Is that he feels God empowering him to be a better dad, a better father, and a better Christian. And what he's expressing is what we should be feeling each and every day. He's experiencing it for the first time, but let me remind you, this is our daily dependence on Christ Jesus to be empowered to walk according to the Spirit, not the old life anymore. And may I remind you that this is meant until Christ takes us home. We need that daily dependence. And so you might be asking, how do I get this tangible power from God each and every day? Simple, ask for it. James 4:2 says, you don't ask because you ask not. So we ask God, Lord, I need to start my day with some pleading. Today I'm going to go to work and I have to endure an insufferable coworker. Help me love them. Lord, today my toxic inner self-talk is going to, get in the weeds of how bad I am and get me off track and rob the joy from me. Lord, I need help to have a better word spoken over me today. And then lastly, today I just feel it's going to be a hard day to keep my sobriety. And so, Lord, I need your help to not touch the bottle. Ask for his help. He promises to deliver. So you say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Here's the need. And I promise you, he will meet you in the hour and with just enough. You must ask because you can't grit it out. You're not that strong. You're powerless. You need God. That's why we're Christians. And that's why the empty tomb and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is amazing. Because he is the assurance that you have the power to overcome what you could not before the resurrection. Romans 8 reveals that Easter signifies a profound truth. Jesus' death and resurrection liberates us from sin's condemnation, praise God, and enables us a new life through his Spirit. Like the IRS that I feared, we bear the burden of sin, but our debt has been canceled. Yet Jesus affirms through the cross and empty tomb, your debt is canceled, no condemnation, you are free because you believe in me. This is the life-changing news of Easter. The tomb is empty, the stone has been rolled away, you are no longer condemned if you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And professing Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. This is what it means. It means that God loves you deeply, but our sin separates us from him. We've all fallen short. Listen clearly here. And the penalty is death. If that is unresolved, the penalty for our sin is death. But Jesus, God's Son, took that penalty on the cross, dying in our place, and he was buried behind a stone. And what many thought was an unshakable stone, an unshakable grave, was shaken. And our God raised Jesus from the grave, and he walked out of that tomb in power and victory, rising again, proving that death and sin and Satan himself are no match for the glory of God. Amen? And the unshakable spirit that can only come from God comes when you believe. Listen to this. If you want that unshakable spirit to live in you, it only comes through professing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't buy it. You can't apply for it. You can't plead for it. It comes through faith, professing that Jesus, you are my Lord, and I believe wholeheartedly that God raised you from the dead. That is the good news. And so I want to give you an opportunity to begin that relationship with Christ today. And so I ask that you honor what we're about to do with every head bowed and every eye closed. No looking around, because we want to give people space to kind of respond. Again, we're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. We're not going to ask you to do that. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the message that we just heard. If you're ready to trust Jesus and receive his salvation and become an unshakable person, reciting this simple prayer right where you are is the beginning of the uncondemned life. And if you're ready, just repeat after me in your heart or silently under your breath, repeat these words. Dear God, I know I've sinned and fallen short of your standard. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me and giving me new life. And then lastly, help me follow you every day. Amen. Keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed. If you prayed this prayer or you're feeling God is stirring something in your heart that you now are walking in the unshakable, no condemnation power that only Jesus can give you because you prayed a prayer today or you're believing for the first time, we want to know that. And so again, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would, and our team in the back is going to be aware of this, so those are the only people looking. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and hold it up. Again, no one's looking, but that lets us know that God is moving in this room. So on the count of three, if you pray that prayer, raise your hand high and let us know. One, two, three, hands up. Amen. Amen. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise God. Praise God. And you can put those back down. For everyone who raised a hand, who trusted Jesus, guess what? I've got some really good news for you. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who just raised their hand. Amen. And that's what Easter is all about. Everybody, you can look back up to help you grow and continue in the unshakable nature of what you just declared. We want to know that. So if you would, on the contact card or the card that I threw earlier that actually we don't want you to dispose of that like I did. Would you fill that out? Let us know your full name and on the back that you've decided to follow Jesus. This is not for our numbers or anything. We just want you to have a buddy to know what it means to follow Jesus. To continue in this unshakable faith, you need people that have lived it a little bit longer to kind of show you the ropes and be a buddy. We call that discipleship. That's what Jesus did with the disciples. He showed them how to live, and he's called us to do the same. And so if you made a decision for Christ, we want to know. And so you're not walking alone. So fill out that card and put it in the silver boxes in the back and let us know that God is working in your life. And I just want to celebrate that, your unshakable nature.